I've been reflecting a lot on where are we going as a parish? What are we called to do? Who are we called to be? How do we approach all of this? So we had our day of reflection, the 14th of January. One of the things that struck me during that day was we had the Latin, I shared this with the group, I think the following Sunday was, it was the around the Feast of the Epiphany, and the wise men had come and visited Jesus, and then there was a line that said they went back to their home by a different road. And the thing that struck me was that clearly our church is going home by a different road. And that road is, you know, back in the history and the closing of St. James in Kansas and all the rest of that type of history. It struck me on the day of recollection and our strategic planning day when Fran shared some of her experience and history and the long history of the church. But it dawned on me that none of us would have been together. None of us would have been at this place in our spiritual life if that would not have happened. You know, we wouldn't have been challenged. We wouldn't have been pushed. We wouldn't have got quite so angry. We wouldn't have questioned our faith. We wouldn't have questioned the church. But you know, all of that is pretty good. You got to do that. You got to ask those questions. I don't know if I'm comfortable, if we're necessarily comfortable with the questions. How many of us would prefer to have the answers, right? We spend a whole lot of time asking why. Why did this happen? Why are people so goofy? Why? But what happens is when you ask the question, you got to be open. When we get an answer, we're like this. Yeah, I got the answer. I got the answer. So we've been sort of asking the question, why, or I've been asking the question, I think we have, why would anybody want to come here? Out in the nosebleed section of wherever we are, Sandusky or Wyandotte County, somewhere out here. Seneca, thank you. I sort of was running through the list. I knew it wasn't Wood, so I was ahead on that one. Why? Are you seasoning? Are you salt? Are you light? Are we that? Do we have something to offer? Who do we have it to offer to? The reading from Isaiah, if that doesn't scare the pants off of you, we're not listening very well, I tell you. What's Isaiah saying? Clothe the naked. Bring the oppressed homeless into your home. Feed the hungry. Don't turn your back on your own, on your kid, on your family. We read that so often, we just sort of blow through it. But you know, the naked and the hungry and the poor, and they are not all that comfortable. It can make us very uncomfortable. It can make me very uncomfortable. Because I am comfortable when I'm with people that look like me. I'm comfortable with people that have political opinions like mine. I'm comfortable with people that like the same football team that I like. I'm comfortable with people in my same gender and my same race. That's where I'm comfortable. But what did they accuse Jesus of? He eats with sinners. He eats with tax collectors. He eats with all these people that make us uncomfortable. I think that as a church, if we ever want to have anything to say to anybody, we have to risk being profoundly uncomfortable. We have to open those doors and welcome people in that make us uncomfortable. Now, what demographic of people makes you the most uncomfortable? And I don't have an answer for that. I'm not going to, I mean, that's each one of us, right? Makes me uncomfortable to be with these people. Now, just run with me a minute here. Let's imagine that we became known as the Ten Finger Church. That in order to belong to this church, you had to have 10 fingers. God made us that way, right? God gave people 10 fingers. If it was meant to be that way, would have 8, God would have created 8, but God created 10. In order to be a member of this church, you got to have 10 fingers. Because we are the 10 finger church. Then you got somebody like this that shows up. And they got sort of 8 fingers. But why did they only have 8? Was it their choice? Did they cut them off? Why did they only have 8? But they make us uncomfortable because we know that people have to have 10 and we're not going to allow them here with us. Where do the people with 8 fingers go? If all the churches are 10-finger churches, where do they go? Where do the poor go? Where do the oppressed go? Where do the lonely go? If not here, where do they go? I read an article this week that made me think of this. That this church in Jacksonville, Florida, that made all of their members sign a declaration or leave that they do not accept or support gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender people. And maybe that's a group of people that make you really uncomfortable. Make me uncomfortable. I'm not that way. But the church members, you either had to sign that by the 26th of March, or you had to leave. How close is that to the 10-finger church? Because I show up. I'm different. I'm lonely. I'm broken. I'm cast out. And all of a sudden, the place I come for refuge, they tell me I can't be there. I have to leave. I'm asking questions here. I mean, this is sort of some of the things that I'm dealing with. And I think that if we as a church community want to be valid, we have to be willing to be uncomfortable and willing to ask the questions, who do we allow to be with us? Because it can push me and it can push you. And if it doesn't, like I said about the first reading from Isaiah, if it doesn't push you and make you uncomfortable, then I suspect we really weren't listening. But if we do listen, what's the promise in Isaiah? You will call to the Lord and he will answer you. You will call to the Lord and he will hear you. The Lord will be your rear guard. Wow, those are really, really pretty cool promises. So in Isaiah, there's action, a challenge to action, but also a challenge to attitude. Because there's really only one reason why we're here in this very brief life. And that's to learn to love. That's to learn to love. I mean, our lives are just this quick snap. I mean, how many of us sitting here, we look back and we think, gee, I was 24 just yesterday. What happened? Well, we got old, right? We are dust. And as we get old, we're reminded that we're dust. If we stopped there, we would despair. But when you reflect on those, you really got two choices. You either despair or you dive deeper. You go deeper into your own heart. We're celebrating Rick and Teresa. 50 years. Rick's had some health issues here the last couple of years. Pretty scary. You either despair or you dive deeper. Where do you dive deeper into? Into your love, 50 years of love. Into your children, your grandchildren. You dive deeper. In order for us to be salt or light, we got to dive deeper. We've got to ask the right questions. And we've got to open those doors to whoever's going to come through, even if they make me feel uncomfortable.